Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Just kind of set it up where our discussions have been focused is how the Sermon on the Mount is so drastically countercultural to this society that we're in now. But it was just like that. When Jesus preached this sermon, as we've said every week, this was kind of his inaugural address. He was beginning to lay out what his message was, and it cut the hearers, the listeners who heard these things, it cut them to the heart. He had done many miracles, and these miracles that he had performed were drawing an audience. And so now he's beginning to let them know. We began going through. If you weren't with us, I really encourage you to go online and kind of catch up with those, because Jesus wasn't putting forth a bunch of new laws. He was letting them know that he came to fulfill the law. And in coming to fulfill the law, he was offering to us a grace that allows us to live beyond the law. So in a world that looks for lines, that says that we want to walk right up to the line, Christ is offering us the ability to not go anywhere near the line, but to remain at the foot of the cross. I don't know about you, but I would have a whole lot less drama in my life if I just took that stalwart advice. If I took that advice and loved the Lord our God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loved my neighbor as myself, I wouldn't be looking for lines and how far is too far. In fact, what I'd be looking for is how much more can I give? And so with that in mind I'm going to speak to you today about forgiving. Real popular topic. Everybody loves to forgive, right? Yay! How many of you love to receive forgiveness? Yeah! How many of you like to give forgiveness? Well, a few years ago, I got in my car and I was driving to work, and I just put on the shirt. I had up several appointments, and all of a sudden, like midway in the car, I was like, is there a mouse in the car? And, kind of this, something's just foul. And I got to work, and I was in the office, and all of a sudden, and it was before we were in the annex, and I was in the office. I was like, oh my goodness, it's in my office too. And so I'm looking around trying to figure out, because obviously it's somewhere else. And I finally tracked it down that it was my shirt. My shirt smelled like kind of like a dead mouse. It was kind of gross. So I know, whatever. So I went home and I actually wanted to wear that particular shirt. So I laundered it real quickly and thought maybe, it didn't get laundered or whatever. And I did it over lunch break. Then I put it back on, got in the car, midway back there. Woo, there she was again. I was trying to think, what in the world was going on? Well, it turns out that I got back and I realized that a bunch of my clothes were like that. And I looked and, I thought that we had just gotten a high-efficiency washer. And if you've had a high-efficiency washer, you realize that there's some maintenance that has to be done. And there's some water that has to be changed. And eventually, if you use, fabric softeners or things like that, it'll kind of gather in that bottom. And it stinks. And you have to, from time to time, drain that water out. We do a lot of laundry in our household. And so the machine gets used a ton of time. And it's a regular maintenance. You have to pull that little hose out and you have to drain that stuff. And if you don't do those things, water that gets in the bottom of the pump can sour. And it can affect so many things. And so as I thought about forgiveness today, Jesus' instruction on forgiveness is basically, you can wash your shirt all day long and it will still stink. And you can go through your life and you can try to do good deeds and you can try to do so many things for God. And if you are holding on to unforgiveness, if you are refusing to forgive, your shirt stinks. And there's no amount of washing that will take care of it. You're going to have to get back. And you're going to have to understand that there's some things that need to change. So that's kind of the setup for our conversation today. Matthew chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, where we left off last week at the end of what people call the Lord's Prayer. Actually, this is should be called the disciples' prayer because it was Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. The Lord's Prayer would probably be in John 17, where Jesus was praying. But just for the sake of, I understand that that's where it's commonly known. So here at the end of the Lord's Prayer, as it's presented in Matthew chapter 6, we read, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, verse 15 is kind of a tag that I think we really wish wasn't there. And sometimes we read over it pretty quickly and we don't give it the credence that it needs, okay? "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses," what's the response? We have kind of a contract here, it appears. "Neither will your Father forgive your trespass." Now, remember, if we want to understand Scripture, we have to understand context. And the context is Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Now, how many of you really take time to talk to God about how you need to forgive someone else? No. We talk to God about, "You need to give me more stuff. You need to pay my bills. You need to make me feel better. You need to take care of all the people I love." And we often don't spend much time talking to God and communicating with God about changing our hearts. Forgiveness is difficult. It's pretty striking here. A God who demonstrates unconditional love seems to be putting forth a conditional blessing. If you blank, then I will blank. If you do not blank, neither will your Father blank. Now, this smacks of legalism in some ways. And so contextually, let's look at what has been going on in the Sermon on the Mount. Do we earn God's forgiveness? No. Forgiveness is not something that we earn. So now it's confusing because it looks like God is putting forth some form of a contract, but he's just spent this entire beginning part of the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes of understanding that he is not throwing the law away, but he's completing, he's fulfilling. And so we have that legalism or antinomianism. We have that conflict that's coming together, that legalism being making ourselves right by following the law, antinomianism saying, "Oh, the law is of no good, we just can live however we want." No. What he's putting forth is something different. And so now we have to look a little deeper into this text to understand what Jesus is saying. There's something greater. It is tied into Jesus' fulfillment of the law. And he talks about matters of the heart, because heart matters. And so Jesus is offering a grace that changes our heart from the inside. But perhaps there are some things that we have a tendency to hold on to that hinder that process. And I'm going to tell you, it's never fun to forgive. It's never fun to forbear, which Scripture tells us that we are to forbear. Scripture tells us that one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. Forbearance and long-suffering are how we deal with people who aren't sorry for what they've done. What is Jesus' instruction for them? Oh, write them off. Throw them away. Jesus tells us that we're supposed to love our enemies and we are to pray for those who persecute us. There's no place where we're told that we're supposed to withhold forgiveness. So let's talk about it, because I believe perhaps not dealing with these things is similar to washing a shirt in a dirty laundry machine. You can do all the steps, but some key element has soured. The application of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus that leads to heart change. So let's talk about the context of forgiving. Our first point is the context of forgiving. Again, as we've said, this is this radical new teaching of Jesus speaking in the first person, which he was giving authority. We looked at the Beatitudes, which were kingdom attitudes and identity. He talked about that we are salt and we are light and that we are different from the world. And the Beatitudes let us know that the purpose of the law was to push us to the perfecter. It wasn't to make us right. The law could not make us right, but the law could put us to the perfecter, which is Jesus. And now, because of the grace applied to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can live beyond the law, which only happens when our hearts are transformed. In other words, we are living with a higher standard. Everybody say a higher standard. Not popular preaching in the United States of America. We want to tear standards down. We want to say that there is no such thing as holy living. We want to say that the blood of Jesus allows us that we can run all over the place with no constraints. When actually the blood of Jesus will cause us to be loving and transformative in ways that we don't understand. What he's telling us is that we are to live a life of relationship with Abba, like we broke in last week. Abba, Father, is a personal relationship. And so the heart change allows us not to be like what he says is the hypocrites, which we talked about last week, which was a facade, saying that it's like a play actor. I'm pretending to be something. And so at the heart of this message of forgiveness is, are you really? Are you really a Christ follower, or are we simply pretending? Do we have a facade that is false? Jesus is telling us, get your focus on God. Quit play acting. Take off the theatrical mask. Have a relationship, not mere religion. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is personal communication. So as Jesus begins to conclude his teaching the disciples to pray, he begins to focus on our faults, a focus on our trespasses. He uses the word here, trespass. Another translation is sins. What it means is we miss the mark, we cross a boundary. Sometimes people have sinned without knowing it, and other times people have sinned and absolutely knew it. And I would say that every person in this room has probably sinned and known it, right? Come on, if you're a member of that club, raise your hand. I have sinned and I've known. I have trespassed. Think about the word trespass. You know, sometimes you go out, if you're walking out in the woods or out somewhere, and you see signs posted, no trespassing. In other words, this is property you're not supposed to go on. It's a good way for us to understand is where are we moving? The context of everything that Jesus is saying has to do with heart change. Are we constantly looking to go away and transgress this boundary and trespass on this boundary? Or are we wanting our hearts to change and to stay connected with God, which also means loving one another? So Jesus is this innovative teacher. He's choosing words that have impact, and he repeats. So he's just talked about, you know, forgive us as we have forgiven. And then he comes back and he adds, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This caused them to have a double take. Now, what is Jesus saying? Is he putting forth a formula? Here's what I want you to know today. He's not putting forth a formula. He's drawing our attention to a fruit. A fruit is something that naturally grows. So what are the conditions here? What are the conditions of forgiveness that Jesus is saying? Well, first of all, forgiveness is not a suggestion. He's not saying you might want to think about forgiving. It's not what he's saying. He's saying it is not a suggestion. It is a command. We are commanded to forgive. God's love is unconditional. He loves the world. He loves the saints. He loves sinners. And he hates the separation that sin brings between us. And so part of our new identity, core to our new life in Christ, is we have been forgiven. Therefore, if we're going to be like God, is God a forgiving God? So if God is a amazing example of forgiveness, and we're going to become more like Jesus, was Jesus forgiving? I mean, think about this. Let me just remember this this interesting word that Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Who was he forgiving? People who were driving nails into his hands and shoving crowns of thorns into his brow. But you don't understand. They didn't wait their turn at the stop sign. They made me late. You don't understand. They said something mean about me. You don't understand. They didn't invite me to their party. Forgiving is a sign of transformation. Okay? And by the way, I know people are saying, well, people have done some really bad things. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to feel. I'm saying you do have the right to heal. And when you won't forgive, you will not heal. Simple as that. Forgiveness, walking in forgiveness and forgiving is not taking away your right to feel. It is giving you the right to heal. Forgiveness understood properly involves a few things. It involves, for when we think of forgiveness between us and God, it involves repentance on the sinner's part and love and grace on God's part. The love and grace are certainly there, but repentance is often lacking. And so the Bible's command for us to forgive one another doesn't mean that we ignore sin. It means we gladly, we gracefully, and we lovingly extend forgiveness to those who repent. And for those who don't repent, we're called to forbear and sometimes to long suffer. We're called to love and we're called to pray. None of which put us into a position of victimhood. The command to forgive, I want you to know, it cuts against the grain of our being, but it is for our good. God would not tell us to do something that is not good for us. And good for us, meaning it strengthens our relationship with him. He's not telling you to let go of your rights as much as he's telling us that we can receive his reward. And I need to tell you here, Jesus is not playing games when he's talking about forgiveness. He's not just throwing words around. They carry a tremendous weight. St. Augustine said this about this portion of Matthew chapter 6. He said, he called this request the terrible petition because he realized that if we pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, with an unforgiving heart, we're actually asking God not to forgive us. Debts mean sins here. So the condition of forgiveness is true repentance, and that is a heart change, as is evident by our willingness to forgive. Anytime that I struggle with forgiveness, all I have to do is look at myself. Do I need forgiveness? And every person in this room, we need forgiveness. Amen? So if we need forgiveness, when we receive forgiveness, it changes our heart. So don't limit, and I've talked with people all the time, says, you don't understand, I can't forgive. Don't limit the work of grace in your heart. It is not fun sometimes, but it is essential. So again, the condition of forgiveness is true repentance. And there have been times that God has pulled issues from my past and confronted me with the fact that I have successfully, please listen to this, there are times that I have successfully gotten some distance from an issue and from some hurtful things and from some offenses, but I haven't forgiven. That's not the same thing. Forgiveness is not fun. I'm just going to go back. Your shirt stinks. I'd say we got some stinky shirts today, right? I know. So here, let's look at these are some of the conditions. Look at the consequences of refusing to forgive. According to what Jesus is saying here, that means if it is not a formula, it is a fruit. The consequence means we haven't allowed our heart to change. So we don't experience forgiveness because we haven't truly repented. Pastor, how dare you throw us back into a works mentality? Please understand, I'm trying not to do that. But when we hold on to unforgiveness, when we refuse to forgive, we deny the work of grace in our hearts. Remember, Jesus said, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. James 2:13 said this, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Okay, we are called to be a people who have received mercy, and because of the mercy we have received, we are willing to forgive them. If we will not forgive, it is indicative that we're really not following Christ, which means it's the definition of what a Christian is. A Christian is a Christ follower. This is a frightening statement, but it's true. For when God's grace comes into our hearts, I want you to know, it makes us forgiving. I want to remind you, another consequence of refusing to forgive is we are tormented. How many have ever been tormented because you refuse to forgive? Grudge holding people. Being a grudge holder is an oxymoron with being a Christian. You can't be a Christian grudge holder. They are not the same. They wipe each other out. If I'm holding on to all of these grudges, it's showing that I'm resisting. I'm holding this part of my heart away from the transformative work of Jesus Christ. There's a famous story from John Wesley. John Wesley was serving to a missionary to the colonies in Savannah, and he had a confrontation with a General Oglethorpe. And General Oglethorpe was famed for his stubborn, unbending nature. And a particular issue had arisen, and General Oglethorpe was threatening revenge on some offending subordinates to the point where John Wesley got called to intervene. He approached him about trying to be more gracious, and Oglethorpe said this to Wesley, I never forgive and I will never forget. To which John Wesley said to him, then I hope, sir, you never sin. The general felt the force of the rebuke to such a way that he modified his actions toward his subordinates. What happens when we don't forgive? We torment ourselves. You may think it's doing something to somebody else, but it's not. You've heard the famous quote, unforgiveness is when you drink poison and expect it that the other person who's offended you to die. It just rots the inside of who we are. In Matthew chapter 18, there's a story of an unforgiving servant. And it says that this individual had a debt of 10,000 talents. This is an enormous debt. And he went and he fell down and he asked for mercy and he was forgiven. And he left really excited and then found someone who owed him just a few pennies. And he demanded that he pay him in full. And when he couldn't, he had him jailed. And here's where with the story, the response to that in verse 34 and 35. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, the person who wouldn't release the debt of someone who owed him just a little. And delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So, and now he's using an analogy, and now he's saying something real. So my Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart do not forgive his brother his trespasses. I don't like this verse. Not fun. So how do I get there? I allow my heart to be transformed by never taking my eyes off of the cross. I need forgiveness. Gang, I didn't just need forgiveness the day I got saved. I need his forgiveness and grace and mercy right this minute. Anybody else? That's what this is all about, is walking every moment, every second in the grace that God offers us. R.K. Hughes wrote that the quickness to take, I love this quote. I love this quote. He wrote, our quickness to take offense and our resistance to forgive strain even our best relationships. An unforgiving spirit brings isolation and a compounding of our bitterness, and sooner or later, it shows itself. Self-pity finds its roots here. Then comes depression as an unforgiving, offended self turns inward. We become even more fault-finding and hurt and unforgiving. Then more depressed and emotionally unhealthy. Not only do friendships sour, but our own healthy relationship with God becomes insipid. The heavens seem as brass and the unforgiving to the unforgiving heart, and they practically are so. We suffer from spiritual ill health. Wow. That is so accurate. That is so accurate. When I just want to hold on to my little list, I tell you, I hinder the work of transforming grace in my life. And I break down communication with other people as well as with God. So two more points. So that's the consequences of refusing to forgive. What's the compensation of forgiving? Well, number one, we are forgiven because our hearts are changed. We understand that there's been a transformation of grace. It's not a legalistic. We don't earn our forgiveness. We accept it. And then that transforming power allows us the ability to forgive. We allow the healing process. You know, look, I really like this. I was writing this out this week, and this phrase came to mind, and pardon if it seems prideful or arrogant. This I just love the Holy Spirit dropping this into my mind. If your most valuable protected possession is your grudge, let Daddy give you something better. If your most valued and protected possession is your grudge, God's got something better for you. God's got something better for you. You remember the famous saying, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And the chief benefit is we are like God when we forgive. I believe that sometimes that allows us to be close to God when we are forgiven. We are forgiven. We are like the Father who prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We are less encumbered. We don't drag around those chains. I've noticed this. When I have a forgiving heart, I'm less stressed. I have less anxiety. When I choose not to forgive, I'm stressing and I'm anxious. Anybody else? I'm dragging that garbage around. I got a stinky shirt. We're open to receive blessings when we forgive. And we're open to receive the help of the Holy Spirit. We are more like God. So what can we do? Instead of rehearsing your hurt, you rehearse scripture. Instead of rehearsing how people have wounded you, don't rehearse their offenses. Recite God's word more than your hurts and give them to God today, and you can be free. And my final thought for us today is the collaboration of forgiveness. Because I know a lot of people who say this, that sounds great, but I just can't do it. You don't know what I've been through. Guess what? You are correct. I do not know what you have been through. But God does know what you have been through. And if you want a correct application of Philippians, which is always misquoted, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, which means I can shoot 100 free throws in a row. That's not what this verse is saying. What this verse is actually saying is an effort to become more Christ-like. So here would be a correct application of this verse. I can forgive through Christ who gives me strength. I can forgive. I know you don't understand. Absolutely. What is forgiveness not? Forgiveness is not denying the action. Forgiveness is not denying the hurt. Forgiveness is not enabling abuse. Forgiveness is releasing you from dragging away around that chain, from carrying that hurt. Unforgiving people get their identity from their wounds. Overcoming people, forgiving people get their identity from Christ. And yes, I understand that it seems like it's an impossible task, but you don't have to do it in your own strength. He says, if you will forgive from your heart. So if you're saying, I can't forgive from my heart, guess what? He wants to give you a new heart. Remember how we ended our series in Ezekiel? Don't make me go back there. He's going to give us a new heart and a new spirit. I know that it's improbable help. And you're going to love this. That's why it's tied on to Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. Prayer isn't about a shopping list. It's about transformation. In few places can we see the transformative power of the grace of Jesus Christ than his command for us to forgive. I went outside last week, tail end of the week, walking the dogs, busy, busy, busy week. Got outside, the breeze hit me. Oh, that time of year. I love this time of year. I love this time of year. Three steps. I'm tired of smelling like a car air freshener. I'm tired of having to put dryer sheets in my hat and spray vanilla. I don't like vanilla that much. I'm tired of buggins in every pore of my body. And as I was walking, my dogs doing their thing, and saying, Lord, what? And I just felt like, you know what? This is what unforgiveness is like. Everything's beautiful, and you go out to try to enjoy it. You find that person, that situation, you come across them. Wouldn't you like to not go out with the stinky shirt? Wouldn't you like to be able to enjoy everything that's there? Forgive. Forgive, Charlotte. Forgive. God wants to give us a new heart. And God will walk us through this. It's not in your ability. And please understand that. There's been things that I've had to forgive people. I've had to forgive people who just plain weren't sorry. And that's a hard choice. And I know that's kind of questionable. I've done the forbearance thing, and I couldn't salvage the relationship. There are people who have intentionally hurt, who are really not sorry at all. And I thought, well, I really don't have to forgive them because they really haven't repented. But what I've recognized is I'm dragging around that silly chain. My shirt stinks. And when I let all that gross water out and let the blood of Jesus do its work and say, you know what? I'm done carrying this. It's not mine anymore. I'm giving it to Jesus.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.